Galatians chapter 2. How many of you know our life is prayer? We take time to just stop and pray sometimes and get a little religious about it. But we are walking in prayer, right? You're talking to God all day long, not just on occasions, right? But let's go ahead and corporately come together in agreement. Lord, we just thank you for your word. It's anointed. It's powerful. It's sharper than any two-edged sword. And it divides between our soul and our spirit. Lord, it's quick, active. We just thank you, Lord, that your word will speak to us this morning. The logos, the general revealed will of God will become a specific rhema in our hearts, in our lives, implemented, and we will walk it out in Jesus' name. We thank you for ears that are open to hear what the Holy Spirit would say through your word and through this vessel. Lord, we also thank you right now that you will confirm your word with signs and wonders following. Lord, we thank you for healings this morning. We thank you for deliverance this morning. Lord, we thank you for provision this morning. We thank you for oppressed minds to be set free at ease this morning. Lord, we just thank you for the blood of Jesus covered all those areas when he was crucified, when the crown went upon his head, when he was pierced, all those many piercings, Lord, as well as the stripes on his back. We thank you. We receive healing. Pain, go right now in Jesus' name. We thank you for healing so that we can receive from your word in Jesus' name. Amen. Galatians chapter 2. And I think the title was, "It's No Longer I That Lives, But Christ That Lives in Me," which is the scripture we're going to look at right here now. And one of the most powerful revelations I think that I'm getting, notice I said getting because I'm not walking in it fully, I'm getting is the fact that Christ is in us. Come on, the scripture tells us, Christ in you, the hope of glory. Colossians 1:27, the gospel in seven words. Christ in you, the hope of glory. Seven words. That's the gospel message. That is the stupendous, unbelievable fact that God Almighty, the God in whom the heavens can't contain, came down and he chose to live in your frame. Come on, in my frame. The God who the heavens can't, you know, the heavens are still expanding at the speed of light right now, because God's said light be. He never said light be and then stop. So light is still going. They're still finding new universes, new, just the cosmos is expanding. But the God who created all of that has chosen to come and live in us. Christ in you, the hope of glory. Not Christ walking along with you, not Christ occasionally showing up. Come on, but Christ in you, the hope of glory. Turn to somebody and say, Christ in you. Come on, Christ in you, the hope of glory. And so let's look here in Galatians chapter 2. This is really Paul's testimony, and it's really the key to living the resurrected life. Now, I know Pastor Janet talked about the I Am proclamations last time we were talking about resurrection a couple weeks ago. And amen, Jesus said, I am. Everybody say, I am. And he didn't just say, I am. He said, I am that I am. That's the one that the Lord revealed himself to Moses there at the burning bush. He went up onto the mountain, and the Lord said, who shall I say is sending me? He says, I am the I am. There's no other. It's just me. I am, the Almighty God, right? And Jesus is God. He made many proclamations. I am the bread of life. Come on. He who eats of me will never hunger again. Come on. He's the river of life for us. He's everything that we need. I am. And then we also saw a demonstration on the I am when he had power over death, even in the natural, even before he was crucified, resurrected, come on, ascended up to heaven. Jesus had power over the natural realm. Amen. He did it not because of his deity. He did it because of his being baptized and filled with the Holy Spirit the same way he says, for us, you tarry in Jerusalem until you are endued with power from on high to be my witnesses. He told them to wait. Now, Jesus raised Lazarus from the dead because of God's power? Because he was God? No, because he was anointed with the Holy Ghost. Going about doing good, Acts 10:38, how God anointed Jesus Christ of Nazareth with the Holy Ghost and with power, who went about doing good and healing all the works of the enemy. The enemy does a work against your life. Guess who's coming right behind to heal it? Come on. Jesus will heal it. Jesus will deliver you. So this is Paul's testimony in the book of Galatians. And we'll get into the history of it maybe a little bit. But I just want to drop down here. This is really the key to living the life, the resurrected life, is to understand this verse and the principle that comes out of this verse. Let's look down to verse 20. I have been crucified with Christ. It is no longer I who live, but Christ lives in me. And the life which I now live in the flesh, I live by faith in the Son of God who loved me and gave himself for me. I do not nullify the grace of God. For if righteousness comes through the law, then Christ died needlessly. Now I just want to stop before we even get to that part. It says, I do not nullify the grace of God. What is the grace of God? Remember? It's unmerited favor, something we don't deserve, but it's so much more than that. Grace is the divine enablement to accomplish those works that God predestined for you and for me even before the foundation of the world, according to Ephesians. He has a call for your life. He has a goal, a plan for a purpose for your life. And it says, and he called us to these things. And he didn't just call us, but he equipped us. Divine enablement to accomplish what God has called you to do. That's what grace is. So let's reread this again. I have been crucified with Christ. Is that past, present, or future? It's all, exactly. But it's the past tense here is have. I have been. I was. And since I was, I is. Come on, and I will be. I was crucified. You could put the word was there instead of have been. I was crucified with Christ, and it's no longer I who live. Paul, are you crazy? We can see you standing right there. Pastor, we can see you standing right. What do you mean you no longer live? Well, he's talking about he doesn't count himself as to be owned by himself. Come on, he doesn't count himself alive to self. Self died. Now he's alive to Christ. And it says, I have been crucified with Christ. It's no longer I who live, but who's the one living? Christ lives in me. Now most Christians, I was going to say many, but I think it's most pastors. Most Christians take that to mean that Christ came in and they were born again and their ticket for heaven got punched and that's it. All he did was come in and change their hearts so that they could be reconciled with God. And that's great, man. That's powerful. Be reconciled with God and make it into relationship and back into intimacy with the Father God. That's wonderful. But look what it says. I have been crucified with Christ. It's no longer I who live, but Christ. Christ is living on the inside of you. Let him out. Come on. That's the problem. We're you know, years ago there used to be, I think it was one of the politicians, and how they had this little lockbox. And I think most Christians have locked God, the Holy Spirit, into this little box in their heart, and every once in a while they feel the air conditioner kicks on, they think it's the Holy Ghost goosebump. They let him out for a little bit. But no, Christ is the one who's supposed to be living through us right now. Right now. By the Holy Spirit, he comes, lives on the inside of us, and he wants to us, in us, through us. One more time. To us, in us, and one more time. To us, in us, through us. That's your call. That's your call. God has granted all blessings, everything. He's made provision. Everything you need for life and godliness is found in Christ Jesus. 1 Peter or 2 Peter chapter 1, verse 3. All things, everything to us, living in, being revealed in us, and acting through us. To us, in us, and through us. It's no longer I who live, but Christ lives in me. Now, I know myself. I'm the one who's living in me most of the time. Come on, that's just the truth. Because we don't reckon or count ourselves as dead. And because we don't count ourselves as dead, we allow the old nature to take precedent over the new nature at times in our life. But Paul says here, the life I live now, which I live in the flesh, he's just talking about physical body, carne, the flesh. He's just talking about, I live by faith in the Son of God. He's not saying flesh, all flesh is bad, because if you didn't have a flesh, you wouldn't be here right now this morning. Come on. You would already be buried or cremated or whatever. You wouldn't be. But the flesh he's talking about is our physical body here. And he says, I live by faith in the Son of God. I live in this flesh. He's not talking about fleshly appetites. He's not talking about living carnally as a carnal Christian. He's talking about living in this world, in this body, right now. I live, the life that I live now, in this flesh, I live by faith in the Son of God. Even every breath that we take is by faith. That the sun's going to come up and there's not going to be a nuclear holocaust overnight is by faith. Come on. Every breath we take is by faith. And it says, I live by faith, what? Just the principles of faith. My faith got me that. My faith got me that. Come on. No, faith is relationship with Jesus Christ. If the more I get to know you, the more I get to know Brother Jim, the more I know I can trust his word. And if he says he's going to do something, then I know he's going to do it. Come on. The more you get to know me, I used to make the confession and joke about it. The more you get to know me, the more you know that you can trust my word. If I say I'll be there by 10:30, I'll be there by 10:35 at the latest. I've amended my confession. I'll be there at 10:25. But the more we get to know each other, the more we begin to believe each other based on past history. The more I get to know Him, the more I begin to believe Him based on past history. But if we never spend time getting to know Him, guess what? You're never going to walk in faith. And faith is an action verb. Come on. The faith once and for all that was delivered to us, that's talking about salvation, but then there's faith where we actually do what God's called us to do. Okay. So it says, I live by faith in who? The Son of God. Not in myself. This is the problem. So many of us live by faith in ourself. Because you know, it says, in, like it says in the good book, the Lord helps those who help themselves. That's nowhere in the Bible. That's nowhere in the Bible. Come on. But that's in our Bible. The Lord will help me if I help myself. Right? He's just come to help me. No, He's not come to help you. He's come to completely kill you. So that only Christ lives. Wow, I didn't like that one. I didn't get any amens on that. He didn't just come to improve us. God can't fix us. God can't change us. He has to kill us and give us a new nature. Christ in you, the hope of glory. The life I live in flesh, I live by faith in the Son of God who loved me and proved His love by giving Himself up for me. And I don't nullify the grace of God. Let's not nullify. Now I understand the context here. He's talking about the Judaizers and how they're wanting to go back to the law and they're wanting to live their life of salvation through works. And he's saying, I'm not going to go back into that, and he'll deal with it later on in this book. But what I'm applying right now is here, let's not nullify the grace of God. What's the grace of God? Divine enablement to accomplish what He's called you to do. Let's not nullify that. Let's not stop it. I no longer live, but Christ lives in me. That is the whole point. Now, that gives us two options. I do something, or He does it. Come on. Either I do something or Christ in me does something. Let's have a little illumination here for a moment. I can't, He can. If I don't, He will. But if I do, He won't. Simple theology. Let's just dig into it for a second. Now, there are many caveats to this, but let's just get this principle in our head for a moment. Everybody, I can't, but He can. Go out loud, you got to repeat it. I can't, but He can. If I don't, He will. But if I do, He won't. Come on, one more time. I can't, but He can. There's no limit. He's the limitless God. There's no limit to what Christ can do. There's no situation that you or I face that He cannot overcome in and through you. We just don't believe it. We go, yes, amen, I know it's in the Bible, but it's not in my life is practice because we're not walking it out in faith. We're still thinking God's way over here and we're trying to get His attention to flag Him on down to come on over and be with us. No, we aren't in the garden anymore. The garden's in us. God walked with them in the cool of the day. God walks in us every day. I can't, but He can. There's no limit to what God can do. If I don't do something, He will, provided I'm trusting Him to do it. But if I do it, He won't. God will not share the platform with me. He will not share the glory with me. It's either me on the throne or it's God on the throne. There's no middle ground. I think many Christians are kind of like this. Yes, Lord, it's all about You. I got these tight jeans on sale. It's not that I'm trying to be a hipster. What? I still didn't hear you. I'm just trusting that you are saying that they look great on you, and that's what. Okay. It was a good sale. Anyway, back to the scripture. That was not Him in me. That was me, about me. Look what it says. One more time. He won't share the platform with us. There's many situations, many, many situations where I can't. But if my faith is in Him, He will. He will. Not only can He, but He will. He will. Not Christ with me, but Christ. Come on, church, talk at me. Not Christ with me, but Christ in me. We have to decide every day, countless decisions, hundreds of decisions every day. Am I going to do it, or is Jesus going to do it through me? Am I going to take control? I'm going to give them a piece of my mind. You don't have much left. Hang on to what you got. Don't move out in the flesh. Let Jesus speak through you. Let Jesus move through you. It's not Christ helping me. We didn't come to salvation for a little help. Because if we just get helped by God, it's still about us. And we're still the ones doing it, and He's just helping us along. Not I, but Christ. Not I, but Christ. Let's turn over to a famous scripture passage. Let's turn over to 2 Corinthians and chapter 12. I know you've used this before, and we aren't going to exegete it completely this morning, but I just want to talk about pull a couple things out of here. This is talking, you probably have a heading in there saying Paul's thorn in the flesh, and then depending on your religious background or what you've been trained and taught, you were taught it was Paul had an oriental eye disease. See what big letter I signed this. Anyway, it's not, my personal belief from reading through the scriptures is the thorn in the flesh was every city he went to, what happened to Paul? Persecution. Beatings, come on, taken out of the city, left for dead, driven out of the city. That's my personal belief on the thorn in the flesh. If you want it to be a sickness, that's fine, but that's not scriptural, okay? But the thorn in the flesh is really, it doesn't matter what it is right now at this moment to make this point here. It's immaterial for our discussion right now. Let's look at what this is. Did I tell you chapter 12? Let's look down to verse 9. Now this is like so many Christians. I remember pastoring, and the thing that was most taxing to me was people whining all the time. Come on, like you and your kids. When your kids start whining, what happens? You just get worn out eventually. Which is their plan, right? To get you worn out, and then you'll finally give them whatever they want. Anyway, so, at times, you get tired of people just whining and whining and whining when you say, hey, you have the same answer I have. It's not any easier for me to walk with Christ just because I'm a preacher and have fivefold calling or whatever. That doesn't make it any easier. That's just an added burden on top of me living as a Christian. Everybody understand? Pastors aren't superhuman. They didn't get a special grace where nothing affects them. No, same things that you go through, same issues. We have to deal with those same issues also, right? But we hopefully have learned how to cast our care upon the Lord, give it over to Him and say, hey, they ain't my sheep anyway. They're yours, Lord. But a lot of Christians are belly achers and whiners and complainers, and a lot of family members are like this, right? And, I kind of think it's kind of funny you read through here, and evidently God got ticked off with Paul a little bit in this sense. He just got tired of hearing Paul whine. Lord, why am I being beat up every city I go to? What's going on? Why am I being attacked everywhere I am? And look what it says. Verse 8. I implored the Lord three times. Lord! He cried out to the Lord three times and said, Lord, take this away from me, these attacks, whatever's happening in my life that's coming against me. And the Lord says to him, yes, you poor baby, let me take that away. It'll never happen to you again. Is that what your Bible says? No. It says, and he said to me, my grace. What's grace? Come on, tell me. Divine enablement, empowerment to do what God's called you to do. Live the Christian life. Be a witness. Tell others about Jesus. Raise your family godly. All those things. His grace is for us. And look what it says. God, the Lord does not even deal with the specifics of the problem. Isn't that annoying? You want God to deal with the specifics. It's kind of like Gideon, he's crying out to the Lord. Well, if you're our God, then why'd all these bad things happen? And God says, you go. What do you mean, me go? I'm griping with you about all the bad things that are happening to our nation and around about me. And the Lord's answer is, yes, go. Go in my strength, right? Go in this, your power. What power? The word of the Lord. All right, so anyway, the Lord speaks to Paul right here. And let's see what it says. It says, my grace is sufficient for you, for my power is perfected in weakness. This is the Lord speaking. This is radical. Yeah. The Lord is not saying, oh, just hang on for another 10 minutes, it'll be over with. He says, I have given you divine enablement to accomplish what I've called you to do. Yeah. It is sufficient for you. For power, my power, the Lord talking about, is perfected in your weakness. Now, we all just need to get together and be weak, right? Is that what it's saying? No, it's saying acknowledge your weakness. There's situations in my life I could not change in the natural, even if I tried. But most Christians wait until their back's up against the wall for one of those situations before they say, okay, Lord, I'm going to trust you. Come on, trusting starts with the small things. Building your way on up. Lord, should I really buy that? Lord, should I really say that? Lord, should I? Come on. You're building up trust with him at that point. But Paul, the Lord speaks to him. He says, my grace is sufficient for you. My power is perfected in weakness. Then Paul makes an audacious statement here, astonishing to me. Look what he says. He said, most gladly, therefore, I will rather boast about my weaknesses. I'm going to go around and tell everybody how weak I am. Well, you don't have to do that. Most people already know. All right. And you don't want to wallow in that weakness. But again, it's weakness, acknowledging the weakness with the purpose that he is your strength. That we understand. It's not just going, oh, it's just the way I am. I'm so weak, you know, I'll never change. No, no. You're recognizing your weakness. In comparison to the infinitesimal God, we're smaller than an ant at 30,000 feet when the airplane looking down on. Come on. His grace is sufficient for us. He says, I will rather boast. Boast! About my weaknesses. Why? So that the power of Christ may dwell in me. Manifest in me. I don't know what yours says. The power of Christ may rest upon me. Dwell is a better translation. That the power of Christ may dwell in me. It's in me. He's recognizing it. Therefore, I'm well content with weaknesses, with insults, with distresses, with persecutions and difficulties for his sake. Now, if you're just being a yahoo, a bozo, and you're causing all these negative things in your life, you can't run around and claim the scripture. And I'll be, you know, I'll just delight in all these negative things that are happening in my life if you're causing them. Stop causing them! Everybody understand? But if you're in these distresses and persecutions and difficulties for Christ's sake, you're living the godly life. You're attempting to be a Christian 24/7. You're walking after Jesus to the best of your ability. He says, when I'm weak, then I am strong. And now, let the weak say, I am really, really weak. No, what does it say? Let the poor say, I am rich because of what the Lord has done for and in and through me. Come on. And now, let the weak say, I'm strong. We're strong, not in our own strength, but we're strong in his strength. The problem is, we trust in our own strength. We trust in our own self. The secret is to know how weak and useless you are in the natural, so that you won't trust in your own strength. The problem is that we think we're able to accomplish in our own strength these everything, right? Again, whose abilities are greater, yours or Christ's? Christ's. His. So why do we most often choose ours? Habit. It's easy. It's easy to do that. Old hat. We know how to do that already. The other might actually take faith and action, because faith without action is dead, right? It's dead. He said, I'm going to rely on his power in me, his grace in me. Amen? Is that okay? You know, Jesus, when he was teaching, said, in your flesh dwells nothing good. What was he talking about? He's talking about flesh nature, right? He's talking your old nature and your sinful, unredeemed nature dwells nothing good. That's why we have to have a new nature placed on the inside of us. That's why we become new creations in Christ Jesus. Again, Jesus' estimate of my self-life is that I'm unchangeable. Right? The only answer is to put me to death so that I may have a new nature and not simply an improved me. You know, I've seen on all my travels and driving around, there have been places where I've driven by and seen dilapidated barns falling apart and come by there later on and see they've put a new paint job on it. But you know what? I know it's still dilapidated, even though it has been whitewashed or red on the outside. We know the termites have already got to it. See, it's not just an improved me. Come on, you're not just improved. You are new. My new nature is Christ in me. Come on, this is the resurrection truth. This is the power of the resurrection. Christ comes and lives on the inside of me. We walk in dependence upon Christ who lives within us. Not I, but Christ. Isn't that what he said back there in Galatians? Not I, but Christ. We rely on him. We don't trust ourselves. That's what he's talking about, the weakness. I don't trust myself. Now, don't run around in fear thinking I'm going to send my brains out. That's not what I'm talking about. I'm just talking about I don't trust myself to always make the correct decision. Right? Or take the correct answer or action. That's why we rely on Christ. Lord, give us a revelation of Christ in us, the hope of glory. Let the exalted, glorified, resurrected Christ have the floor. Let him take control of your life. He's living within us by the power of the Holy Spirit. Most gladly, Paul says here, I will boast about my weaknesses to God. Let me just take a side point here. He's not encouraging us to blab to everybody about all your problems. Okay? You have accountability groups. You have leadership over you. Those are where you go and give the heavy things about your life to. You don't stand up and testify. I used to joke about it when I was pastor, and there were times when our testimony meeting would move into a testifony meeting. You know, you can tell when it starts out in the testimonies, well, the devil's been chasing after me all week. But I was able to just outrun him and get here to the church, praise his holy name. Who are you praising, the devil or Jesus? Come on. We're not talking about that. Don't cast your pearls before swine, Jesus said. I'm not calling anybody swine. I'm just saying we don't throw everything positive. You don't run around and tell everybody. You don't blab to everybody. This new generation's the last two, like to tell you about everything in intimate detail. Or they tell you nothing, and they do it all online. No. Know who you labor among. Know who you share things with. And he's talking, the weakness here, I don't think Paul went into every church and said, I'm weak, I'm so weak, look at me, I'm weak. Let me tell you how weak I am. That's not what we're talking about here. The weakness was he was acknowledging his weaknesses to God so that the power of God would flow through him. We don't need more power. Now, I used to love that song. That was another good old one. More love, more power. What is it? More of you in my life. Right? More love, more power. Woohoo! It's a beautiful tune. We used to get all geeked up on that song. Problem is, it's not spiritual. It's not scriptural. More love. What do you mean, more love? The love of God has been shed abroad in your heart by the Holy Ghost. Romans 5:5. Oh, I need your love, Lord. Well, I need more of it. Then you have to do this convoluted thing in your mind. I'm singing that song, more love, more love, more of your love that's already in me to be released through me. It's long to add to the song. More of you in my life. More love. What are we talking about? What we're crying? More power. More power. All power on heaven and on earth has been given to me, Jesus. You go in that power. If I could only have the power of God. If I could only have Jesus die on the cross, be raised, come back down and live on the inside of me by the Holy Spirit. If I could only have that. You have it. You have it. Yeah, I still remember one of the amazing stories, which was a true story. I believe it was Charles Spurgeon. He went in to visit an older lady who was dying, and she had been the housekeeper for a super wealthy man in London. And she was on her deathbed, and he went in to see her, and she wasn't able to read or write. And he went in, and in this little ramshackle shack that she was living in, you know, wind blowing through the cracks in the walls and stuff like that, and he saw she was dying on her deathbed, and he sees something framed up on the wall. You heard this story before? Pretty powerful. He goes over, and he looks at it, and he turns, and he says to the woman, after he reads it, he goes, "What is this?" And she says, "Oh, well, that's something that my former master," not, she wasn't a slave, but you don't talk about the landowner, what do you call him anyway, the lord of the manor gave me that when I retired. And it was so pretty that I had it framed and it's up on the wall. And he says, "Do you know what it says?" "Not really, but it's pretty." And in that frame was the title deed to his mansion and lands and his bank account. She's living in poverty because she couldn't discern what was already hers. We live in poverty of heart, of mind, of spirit, because we don't discern what's already ours. How sad. How sad for us. How sad for us. The Lord is revealing to us that that's not the case anymore. Come on. You have a Bible. We're so blessed in this nation to have dozens of Bibles around the houses. And other countries can't even get a portion of the Bible. And we have so many and we don't bother to read them. But we have enough that we can color coordinate and go with different outfits. That's fine. Read it. Apply it. Do it. All right, anyway. Is our dependence upon Christ. We keep saying we're weak, but yet we're strong. 2 Peter 1:3 already quoted to you that he's given us all things pertaining to life and godliness in this, not the future, in this life, in Christ Jesus. Do you know these are the two most powerful truths? We are in Christ, and Christ is in us. The two most powerful things. Every other, quote, religion on the planet, their God is afar off that they're trying to get his attention and to get him not to beat them up anymore. They don't have personal relationship with him. They can't. Oftentimes, he's an idol that they cut down a tree, made a totem out of it, and then they bow down and worship the work of their hands. How wise is that? We have a God who's chosen to come and live in these vessels and change us into the image of Jesus Christ. In the true knowledge of him, according to 2 Peter 1. The reason we don't see more power of God manifested in our lives, could it be that the reason we don't see more power of God manifested in our lives is most often because we keep depending on ourselves and not on him? The promise is that every time we depend on him, his power will come forth. That's the promise we have from the scriptures. In my weakness, what weakness? I can't heal anybody. In my weakness, I depend upon Christ living on the inside of me. He's the strength of my life. And then I lay hands on in faith as action. And then Christ, who lives on the inside of me, uses me as a glove. My body is simply a glove for his hand. And he does the healing. It's not about me. But if I get into this mentality of, oh, I didn't pray enough. Oh, I haven't read my Bible enough. Oh, I shouldn't have said that to that person this week. Oh, I shouldn't have had those thoughts. Oh, I shouldn't have done that. Then we negate the faith to yield to him who lives on the inside of us to flow through us. We choke it off. We stop it from flowing. Because we now take the ascendancy back to the stage. And we say, oh, it's my fear, it's my insecurity, all these different... Yes, yes it is. What's that got to do with anything? When we are weak and we acknowledge that to him, then we are strong. Philippians 4:13, we love to quote that. Football players put it on their helmets. I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. Woohoo! I can do all things! Except for those things he's called me to do that seem a little bit hard. No, I can do all things. Now again, go back and look at the context because I'm a context guy, right? What's the context? The context is about, thank you guys for giving to my ministry. That's really what the context is. And I appreciate that you've been giving to the ministry so that I can go out and preach the gospel. And because of that, I can do all things. But never let the truth of the scripture violate something that we've been quoting, misquoting for decades. The principle is still true. Just like giving, it shall be given to you. You, good measure, pressed down, shaken together, running over, shall men give it on your bosom. Yes, the principle is you can use it for money, but the context is if I give forgiveness to you, then I can have forgiveness back. If I give judgment to you, no, I don't want it. This is why it's important to know the context, which means you have to read the book. Read the red, do what he said. Most Bibles, it's read the words of Jesus. I can do all things through him who gives me strength, not in myself. Again, John 15:5, Jesus says, in the context of the vine and the branches, he says, apart from me, you can do nothing. What do you mean? I can brush my teeth. I can get dressed. I can drive a car. I can work a job. What do you mean I can't do anything? Apart from me, you can do nothing. Nothing of value for the kingdom. Come on. Nothing of value for this world that's lasting value. Anything we do in self-dependence is nothing in God's economy. Lord, Lord, did we not cast out devils in your name? Did we not heal the sick? Depart from me, I never knew you. Were the works false? Maybe. Or maybe because their heart motivation was impure. He said, I never knew you. All right. Are we living for Christ? Because what Christ does in and through us will bear lasting fruit for his glory. For his glory. This has to become a revelation for us. Not just head knowledge, not just mental assent. We're learning to depend on Christ so that he can come forth through us. This is what the life of faith is all about. Right? Jesus said again back in John chapter 14, verse 20, he says, on that day, what day? On the day that you receive the baptism of the Holy Spirit, on the day that you get the Holy Spirit, on the day you're born again, he says, on that day, the day you receive the Spirit, he says, I am in the Father. You are in me, Jesus talking, and I am in you. Jesus prophesied and spoke about the way that we are supposed to be living right now. Understanding that Jesus and the Father are one. We are in Christ. We've been taken out of the kingdom of darkness, put into a kingdom of light. And now Christ lives on the inside of us. Wow, so much that I didn't even scratch the surface on for another time. Thank you for having those 12 scriptures ready that I never got to back there. But let's just go back and read it one more time here. Galatians 2:20. Whatever translation you have there. And let's believe God for revelation of this and then an implementation of it in our life. And maybe we'll get into the context of it some other time and talk about all of this. But here's the truth again. Two key foundational truths. We are in Christ. We're no longer in this world. Yes, we live in this world. We're no longer in this world system. We are in the kingdom of God. And we manifest the kingdom of God because we're not just in Christ, but Christ is now in us. And wherever we go, the kingdom goes. We're not, let your king, we sang this morning, let your kingdom come, let your will be done, right? We declare it. What? Let your kingdom come. That means I got to go somewhere. You got to go somewhere. Let your will be done. Not just to me, but through me for everybody else. Let us see in this world the glory of our God. All right, so look down here one more time. I have been crucified with Christ. It's no longer I who lives, but Christ who lives in me. And this life I now live in this flesh, I live by faith. How? In the Son of God, who loved and gave himself up for me. And I choose to not nullify the grace of God. Ah, I hear that old chorus. It's no longer I that liveth, but Christ that liveth in me. It's no longer I that liveth, but Christ that liveth in me. He lives, he lives. Jesus is alive in me. It's no longer I that liveth, but Christ that liveth in me. We need to get back and get some songs that are actually from the scriptures. This is how we memorized the scriptures in the early days. Come on. He lives. He lives. Jesus is alive. Can't hear you. Jesus is alive in me. Because it's no longer I that liveth, but Christ who liveth in and through me. This week, let him out. This week, let him out. Amen. Hallelujah.
Let's give the Lord a praise this morning. Thank you, Lord. It's a theme here at the River of Life. Christ lives in us. We are in him, he is in us. And we thank God that he continues to bring it up, teaching us that that's what he's called us to do. We're crucified with him. Thank you, Lord. We don't have the power within ourselves to overcome this flesh. That's why we need Christ in us.
Amen.
I'm crucified with Christ.
Nevertheless,
I live. Right.
Because
go on, David.
And you live this life by
faith.
Faith in
the Son of God.
Son of God who
smiled for me.
Come on, get that in your heart.
Amen. Christ in us, the hope of glory. Thank you, Lord. Let's all stand this morning. Father, we thank you for your presence. We're just going to take a little time to pray. If you pray in the Spirit, go ahead and pray in the Spirit. But Father, we just thank you for your presence. We thank you for your word, Lord, that it's seed, Lord, and the seed has gone forth into our hearts. Thank you, Lord, that your seed has gone forth into our hearts, Lord. Thank you, Father God, that it's alive, Lord. It's planted on the inside of us, Lord. And you continue, Lord, to water it, Lord, as we go through this week, Lord. Thank you, Father. I'm just going to ask praise team if they'll take their places. Hallelujah. Father, we thank you for the seed being watered, Lord, this week. Lord, I thank you that you continue to grow us and teach us right where we're at. Lord, I thank you, Father, there's many ages and stages of maturity, spiritual maturity within our church. But Lord God, you are the teacher. Holy Spirit, you're the teacher. So continue to water those seeds, Lord. Continue to bring forth fruit in our lives, Lord, that we will all grow up in you, rooted and grounded together in love, planted in the house of the Lord. Father, growing like righteous oak trees, Lord, in your vineyard. Father, we just thank you. Thank you, Lord, for every person here this morning, all those that are listening. Thank you, Father. Lord, we lift up Madeline this morning. We thank you for your healing power right now. Touch her knee and heal her. Touch and heal, Lord. We just thank you, Father, that you bring every muscle, ligament, tendon, and nerve back into divine order, Lord, the way you designed her from the very beginning, Lord. Strengthen her knee in Jesus' name, Lord. Thank you, Father, for your strength and your healing power flowing through her right now, Lord God. Thank you, Lord, for your peace that passes understanding, Father. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord, that you are our healer. You are our healer and you are our deliverer. And I thank you, Lord Jesus, for delivering. Thank you, Jesus. Hashika masata. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Free us from any fear, Lord. Any fear. Lord, I just thank you, Father, for setting us free from fear in Jesus' name. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Fear of moving forward. We just break the power of fear of moving forward. God has a plan for our life. This is an apostolic season. This is a kingdom season. The church is in a transition and a shift. And so, Father, we just ask you to break off any fear that we would have, Lord, as we move forward into your word and your will for our lives, Lord. Thank you, Jesus.